Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelsang. We've got another great show today, and once again, this is an important one. Today's show is important for a couple reasons. First, it's a very personal story, one that I've lived, so to speak, with my own family. I've talked about this to you, my audience, once before, and I'll talk about it just briefly today, telling our family's personal story of hospice care before we speak to Dr. Laura Patel. Dr. Patel, whom we'll hear from in just a bit, is a hospice and palliative care medicine physician. We discuss palliative care and we discuss hospice, which, as you all know, I'm grateful for and a big fan of the hospice approach to hospice patients and their families. I don't normally do this, but I want to play a bit of my pre-interview conversation with Dr. Patel to set the stage for our full interview. Let me just jump in mid-conversation here, and you'll hear what I'm talking about in terms of my respect, trust, and fondness in and for hospice. You know, I will tell you quickly, too, with regard to hospice, I'm a fan, a huge fan. My father passed away the end of October, and he was on hospice a couple of times just because of his condition, released once and then put back on. And my dad was an internist. My sister's an internist. And my dad was also he had a kind of a right brain, left brain thing going on. He was a machinist. He loved to use the tool and die lathing equipment to make, if you can imagine, steam engines out of just literally hunks of iron. And so what did hospice do? As he had one particular steam engine. These are amazing things that are built. He had one that he had worked on for about 8 years, and he wasn't going to finish it. You know, just wasn't going to be, you know, that option just wasn't going to be there for us. But hospice found a machinist locally.
Wow.
I know, I just about cried telling you this. They found a machinist to come in, and my dad could go out to his shop, sit there as the machinist finished this steam engine. And I tell you, it's not strictly medical. And as a matter of fact, yes, completing that project was everything to my dad. But it was so much to our family, too, to have him finish that. So anyway, that's my own personal story. We can quit with the sobbing and I'll be really, much better.
That's really powerful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Sorry for going there. But yeah, hospice is a big deal. Palliative care was a big deal for him. And so it really is a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for indulging me that. And you heard that this is a personal subject. And you heard Dr. Patel there in the background. Again, we're going to be talking to Dr. Laura Patel in just a moment. But by way of introduction, Dr. Patel is medical director and chief medical officer of Transitions Life Care and was named the Association for Home and Hospice Care Physician of the Year. Dr. Patel writes frequently on the subject of hospice, palliative care, and speaks passionately about what is needed for patients, hospice and non-hospice, and is a strong physician's voice about well-being as the ultimate goal in medicine.
Well, I would say that so much of what is needed when people have a serious illness and caregiving needs is that it's not strictly medical. And I would argue that this is often true in hospice patients and non-hospice patients alike. And there's so much more that goes into achieving well-being, which really should be always our ultimate goal of medicine, which oftentimes gets overlooked in taking care of people. But we in the hospice world truly do understand that people can still be healed even when there's no cure available anymore.
That, of course, is our guest today, Chief Medical Officer of Transitions Life Care, Dr. Laura Patel, who will be joining us from her offices via Skype. Laura Patel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Dr. Patel, tell me a little bit about Transitions Life Care and what your role is with the organization.
So, Transitions Life Care is a nonprofit community provider of hospice and palliative care. And we've been in the community for nearly 40 years. I've been with the organization for almost 5 years, and I'm serving as the chief medical officer, which basically means that I oversee all the medical care in all the realms that we provide care. all of our medical staff. We have 9 full-time physicians and 16 nurse practitioners who provide care for our patients. And I oversee the medical components of our hospice care as well as all of our palliative care programs.
That's great. Thank you, Dr. Patel, for that. You know, most of my audience will know the term palliative, but maybe you can give us a definition. I noticed in my research of you that you have really kind of a subspecialty in geriatric medicine with an emphasis on palliative care. So tell us a little bit what your definition of palliative care represents.
Yeah. So palliative care is really a medical subspecialty which has developed out of the need to provide support to patients and families who are dealing with a serious diagnosis or serious illness. And so this is really meant to address kind of care in a holistic approach, taking the family as a unit of care and focusing on quality of life and focusing on symptom management. And it really can be delivered at any stage of serious illness. So there's evidence to support providing palliative care even with a newer diagnosis of advanced cancer, even while you're going through, disease-directed treatments like chemotherapy or radiation, it can really help patients have the best quality of life while they're going through some of those treatments. And it differs from hospice in that hospice is really designed around the Medicare benefit, which is provided for patients who are in their last months of life. So technically, two physicians have to, look at a patient's record and determine, do they think that we are in kind of the last phase of life here? Whereas palliative care can really be offered at any stage of an illness.
Thank you for that. Dr. Patel, let's link that palliative care to home care. And certainly when it comes to the aging boomer population, and many of my audience are going to fall right into that category, home care is certainly an important step, one that's being considered more and more these days. And palliative care really fits in very nicely with that because you can look at the whole environment. What are some of the challenges, though, with home care today? And then maybe you could tie that into where transitions fits into the home care and home health landscape.
Sure. Yeah, I think that, when I think about home care, I think you can think of it in a general sense of basically what is being provided in the home environment. And that can take a lot of different forms. So, of course, the majority of hospice care is provided in the home. Some palliative care programs like ours have home-based teams who can go to the home and provide care. And then, of course, you have home health, which is a skilled benefit. So patients who have some skilled nursing need, they have to have wound care, or they need antibiotics at home, or they need physical therapy or speech therapy. They can qualify to get these therapies in the home. And then there's the kind of the homemaker home care. So people just need assistance. They need someone to help just keep them independent at home, help them with laundry, help them, with meals, and also help them with personal care of just remaining independent and doing their activities of daily living. So there's a really wide spectrum of what people need in the home. And at Transitions Life Care, we do approach it from most of those angles. We don't provide homemaker services, but we do provide home health, and we also have private duty nursing who can help with some of those daily living needs and to help support families. I think, some of the bigger challenges are just from a lot of what people need as people are living longer and longer with more debility and frailty. It's a wonderful thing to live a long time, but then we need more help a lot of times, just kind of getting through daily life, need a little bit more assistance. And all of those things that people need, nothing is really covered by insurance. So people are needing to figure out how do I obtain these services if I don't have any resources? And figuring out how to navigate that whole landscape, I think, is pretty challenging for people, especially when it can go on for a pretty long period of time in some cases, depending on what people are dealing with.
We are with Laura Patel, MD. Dr. Patel is a physician practicing in North Carolina, talking to us today with her expertise in hospice, palliative care, and home care. Dr. Patel, when you look at the landscape of in-home care, what trends do you see coming for the industry? And maybe touch on this kind of cost-shifting basis that's going on.
Yeah, you know, I've seen a lot of interest and focus on increasing use of technology through within home care, whether it be within palliative care, within home health, you know, being able to monitor people virtually, being able to bring services into the home through, you know, virtual visits, through telehealth. That's something that we're looking at as well, to try to stretch our reach and really to provide additional support in a quicker fashion to people. I've seen one trend that I really think is really interesting is this idea of time banking. So really, you know, harnessing your community to give back to each other. So you can, you know, if I sign up and I can drive you to appointments, and then I bank a certain amount of hours, and then I can get those banked hours back when I need them. Maybe I need somebody to bring me meals three times a week, and someone in the community can do that. So that idea of kind of, it's almost using social media concepts to provide informal acts of caregiving. And I think that we'll probably start seeing more and more of that as we all get more and more comfortable with social media and how to integrate that into other aspects of our lives.
That's fascinating. We spoke actually yesterday with Home Care Assist CEO Brian Van Hook about some of the home care trends that he sees, and we learned about Home Care Assist's approach, their innovative approach to caregiving, kind of this platform where caregivers and care seekers are coming together. What is it that Transitions is doing to prepare for kind of the aging baby boomers that are, you know, going to be seeking some of these same kinds of needs?
Yeah, I think that's a really a good question. It's going to be a pressing question, I think, for all of us. I think that, you know, the baby boomer generation is going to have high standards. You know, they're going to want to find information. They're going to seek information about looking for high quality organizations. So being able to really showcase what you're doing as an organization and what sets you apart, I think, is going to be really important. And they're also probably going to be wanting to communicate differently, you know, so this home care, hospice, you know, all of those things, it's not a Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 type of care. This is 24/7, 365. And I think, you know, being able to communicate quickly, whether it's through emails, texting, you know, I think people are busy and they're going to want to be able to communicate quickly. So some of the things that we're doing at Transitions, we're exploring using telehealth to be able to virtually connect our families with caregiving support, with medical advice, through video visits as well as in-person visits. We're also looking at different, more app-based communication for our families, knowing that a lot of the caregivers, you know, we actually started it with our pediatric population, but it translates very well to our older population as well, that a lot of the caregivers are wearing multiple hats. They are working full-time jobs and taking care of multiple family members. They're coordinating all sorts of care, and it's very overwhelming and confusing. So our task is really to streamline that and make it as easy as possible for people to get the information that they need. So I think, you know, organizations like Brian's, that's kind of, you know, connecting the right pieces and doing almost like a, you know, match.com for caregivers, I think is, it's going to be important. People are going to want to know that what they're getting is high quality, but they're not going to be able to spend tons of time, you know, researching and going through maybe bad care to get there.
Thank you very much, Dr. Laura Patel. We really appreciate your time. You can really tell that you're giving this thought, and there's some passion. I certainly hear in your voice. I think these ideas of time banks are critical, and it's important to look at some of the new technology. I live all the way on the East Coast. My mother lives on the West Coast. I care for her deeply, but it's hard for me to connect often, and some of this technology might help me to do that. But Dr. Laura Patel, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
My thanks to our guest today, Chief Medical Officer of Transitions Life Care, Dr. Laura Patel. More information about Dr. Patel, including links to Transitions Life Care, is available at our website. As I say, we will post links to everything. And as I always say, my thanks to you, the listeners, for joining me today. Your time is valuable, and I'm grateful you're spending some of it with me. I'm always interested in feedback, and you can leave that at iTunes, Google Play, or send me email at info@notold-better.com. Stay tuned for our next show, another great one when we talk about better. The Not Old Better Show. Thanks, everybody.